Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 3, episode 4, The Last Waltz. Right, two things before we even get started. One, I told you so. And if you're an avid listener, you will know exactly what I'm referring to in this episode. But I saw it coming like 2 episodes ago. I told you so. Second off, we had some PR this week.
We did.
Big week. We got a little feature in Stylist magazine. Just very exciting.
Super exciting. I mean, especially me coming in 3 episodes in and we're in the press.
I did actually see Kerry, RIP, do a post to say, like, I've been gone 2 episodes and these bitches have got famous. So
yeah, well, it was a very cute post though, so yeah. Thanks, Kerry.
But thank you, Holly, for mentioning us. We really appreciate it. It was really was a big day. I got a root canal that day. I got that day. I mean, wild times. I kind of wish, like, it'd been spread out across the week because we're still in lockdown.
Yeah.
I've not got much going on. Like, 2 things in one day is too much.
Likewise.
We should probably, you know, be formal and introduce ourselves. That's probably it. I think that's what you're meant to do in a podcast.
Well, probably. Okay, so my name is Jane and I have seen the OC.
My name is Heather and I have never seen the OC. And every week we watch an episode of the OC and then talk about it. It's as simple as that, really. It does what it says on the tin.
Simple premise.
Exactly. We'll talk about it when we get to it. But see, when the thing happened that I'm referring to that I told you so, honestly, I was shouting at my television.
I was
so pumped.
To be honest, I thought it may be, because I was like, when is, they can't drag this out much longer, you know? So yeah, I did think you would enjoy and I almost did text you, but I was like, I better not, so that it's fresh.
So I can get like real-time reaction.
Yeah, real-time reaction.
Okay, last time on the OC, Summer Square Goad Taylor for Social Chair. That was the big haps.
And won.
Yeah, she did. She nailed it with that kickoff carnival. She did a great job. Seth's got detention for stealing the tiki hut. But this douchebag Dean wants to know who was in cahoots with him. And he's not giving it up because he was so proud of himself, wasn't he?
He was. He felt like he was...
for not being a grass bag.
Yeah. Although, cause I was thinking, why are they making such a big deal of this? But obviously, for the rest of the plot to fall into place, yeah.
It also turned out that Caleb was broke and Julie has no money and has got to take her broke ass home. And the Newport group, what's going to happen with that if they've got no money? And then Ryan and Marissa are expelled, obviously, because Ryan punched the dean in the face, sure. And then Jimmy also got punched in the face by lots of loan sharks and he duped. Is that the phrase? Duped Julie at the altar? I'm like, English person, help me.
Yeah,
what's the chat?
I would just say he patched her at the altar.
I was trying to show off with some alliteration there.
Ditched her.
Yeah, he did a bunk. He's gone. And not only did he leave her at the altar, he got his 16-year-old daughter to dump her for him, which... yeah, Jimmy's trash, man.
Jimmy is trash.
Okay, let's... I am quite excited with this prospect of a new school. You teach at a public school.
I do, yes.
And I'm going to assume you went to a public school?
Yes. Why would you assume that, Heather?
Don't just put it out there. Yeah. Kerry chose you for a reason. I also went to a public school. So I find this, how they're setting up the public school, quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it looks pretty nice, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, Seth and Summer are both making jokes about how it looks a bit trash and that Summer's like, oh, well, you know, the car park's well lit, you know, for getting to the car. because, you know, obviously people get what, like, mugged on the way to their car at school. Yeah, whatever. Sure.
Yeah. And why did the three of them drive her to school? It's a bit weird. I suppose it's nice to have her support, but I don't know about you, but I was really bad at getting out of my bed and getting myself to school in the morning. Never mind taking my pal to their school.
I have definitely thought about this. Like, see, when they go for breakfast before school, I'm like, who freaking did that, man? Like, no. Unrealistic. Nah. But Marissa's actually surprisingly chill about it all, isn't she? She's like, Julie can't afford private school. So Marissa doesn't really have a choice. And she's kind of like, well, let's just get on with it, lads.
Yeah, she's quite resigned to the fact of Julie's situation and that no one knows her. She's taken it as a clean slate, which is, again, Marissa's been pretty sensible in the past few episodes. So she's taken it on the chin.
She has. More kudos from me. Good job, Marissa. Definitely. I love that everyone's staring at the car and, like, they just don't, like, it's, I mean, turning up in a big fancy car, sure. I mean, I don't know what they were expecting. But she goes into the school, gets her little strut in, and this girl is like, hey, check out Newport Barbie. And I was like, oh, this doesn't bode well. And then Seth hits out with this hilarious line, and that was the last they ever saw of her.
And I enjoyed really that. Made me laugh.
Really made me laugh. I also really love Marissa's outfit here. The jeans are a little bit too low for my personal preference, but that pink shirt is cute.
It is. The pink shirt is cute, although I think I've got notes for later on. The outfits in this episode felt a bit weird. Like, I couldn't really place them. Like, you know, it was nothing that I could really relate to from wearing at that time, other than at one point Summer was wearing two vest tops, one over the other, and I do remember
that. Oh yeah, that was the look. That was a vibe. I wish I could pull off a blush pink silk shirt, but alas, I am too sweaty to do that. Like, that would just be sweat patches galore.
If you can wear a leather shirt to a job interview, Heather, like, you can do anything, pal.
Sweat doesn't show up in that. That's the trick. Anyway, back at the Harbour School in this super posh common room, we're very well advertised the end of summer dance, and Summer is on it. She's the social chair and she's got all her stuff laid out in front of her, ready to rock and roll.
Yep, she is on it. I'm sure the dance will be amazing until she's got Seth running about getting her coffee, and then obviously the dean comes in and ruins everything. Ugh. And he's just pushing this confession so much. Yeah. And threatens, he's got Seth cleaning the locker rooms. Is that even allowed?
I mean, I don't work in a school, babe. That is a not you question. Well.
Definitely
me,
not.
I'm like, put them to work. But no.
No, I wouldn't say it's punishment that's normally dished out.
No, but he brings that up, like, he's quite gobby, isn't he? He's like, hey, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ryan's got a tutor for homeschooling. See, as soon as they mentioned in the previous scene that he's going to be homeschooled, I was like, nah, like, he's definitely getting back into Harbour. Like, he definitely is. There's no way they could prolong filming him getting homeschooled for an entire scene. But sure. He comes in to the Coen household to chat to Sandy, and he kind of says, I want to go to the same school as Marissa.
Of course. She's
there
on
her own. Wah, wah, wah. And Sandy gets him told, pretty much.
Yeah. Tells me to get a grip, focus on college, focus on his SATs. And I thought this ended quite abruptly. Ryan was just like, okay, and walks out of the room. Fair enough.
This blue shirt really, really brings out Sandy's eyes.
Oh,
he looks great. He looks
really does.
Dreamy in a blue shirt. But he is watching garden. He is watching Kirsten gardening, which I just thought was so lovely. He looks so happy.
Our little herb garden. I thought that, it was a very cute scene. And then she talks about how in rehab they told her she has to confront her fears and first world problems. Kirsten's fears are cooking.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, starting with a herb garden for cooking is quite big. And, like, later they talk about, like, a lamb ragout. I'm like, go in with, like, a mac and cheese or something. Yeah. Start small. An omelette, okay? Don't start with the big guns. She's coming in from gardening. She's taking her shirt off because she's going for a shower. She invites him into the shower. Raunchy. Well, sexy.
Somebody's eventually looking after Sandy.
someone is like, finally, we've only been waiting 3-4 episodes for it. God. But yeah, very abrupt switch over to Julie's house. And this is where we find out that the house and the contents are getting seized to pay back for the debt. And she's got 48 hours to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, she looked pretty rattled as far as Julie goes. I did feel bad for her.
Yeah. Like, what would you even... Like, imagine somebody said to you right now, you've got 48 hours to pack up your house.
Yeah, and also, again, time frames. How long ago was it her husband just went and left her? She really processed that, and now she's homeless. Yeah.
Where would you get boxes from in such short notice?
How would you even begin to box up that house?
Ugh. Oh, poor Julie. Anyway, Marissa bumps into this bird and she says, I'll let you go if you tell me you think you're better than me. And then it's like, I don't think you're better than me. Oh, and then it turns out she's called Heather.
Well, yes. Fun. She is called Mean Heather. We'll call her Mean Heather to avoid like...
Mean Heather.
Creepy Charlotte, Mean Heather.
Just to avoid confusion.
Yeah, just in case we get confused, you know.
I am not Mean Heather.
You're definitely not Mean Heather.
Well, I suppose it depends who you ask, doesn't well, it?
But did you not think it was funny as well that Marissa's like deciphering a map? Like, how big is this
school?
Oh my
God. To be fair, my school was a bit of a maze. I'll give her that. But yeah, this girl comes in and like saves her, doesn't she? And she's like, well, you are decked out in Chanel, so it's no wonder.
Yeah,
that, like,
I did think that was funny.
She's like, but so this is Casey, who we've just met, who seems really nice. And Marissa says that. She's like, you're the first nice person I've met. And then Casey says, I'm not even that nice. And I was like, well, clearly if this hard as fuck Heather girl is like intimidated or scared by you, like, I don't know, that would cause me little red flags in my head. I'd be like, oh no,
yeah,
like,
she must,
even worse.
She must have something. And I also really recognised her and I looked her up and she's in The Vampire Diaries. So there we go.
A good fact. Good fact. This dress that Summer is wearing in the next scene, I have written, is very you. It's
yes.
A very you outfit.
It is
I can
so
see
nice.
You in this dress.
Yeah, I have written down, cute dress, blue and stripy. Yeah, it was very cute. Yeah. Thank you.
It's cute. But she's busy being a social chair, you know, just flouncing about, talking about hexagons and octagons.
Triangles, sure. Not knowing the difference.
Sure. What, like, they pay a lot of money to
exactly.
go to this school.
Are we supposed to believe that these girls who their like education is probably costing thousands upon thousands of pounds don't know the difference between a triangle and an octagon?
I mean,
maybe Marissa's sure. better off at Newport Union.
No comment. I will not pass comment on private education. But sure, I thoroughly agree. But Taylor turns up being all like, oh, can I help? Well, gives this big sob story about how she's like, oh, I know I can be a pain, but I don't have any friends. And it's, you know, it's my fault. I don't trust people.
Right.
I'm trying to control them.
I'm going to stop you there, Heather. At this point, before watching the rest of the episode, did you have any compassion for Taylor? Did you think, oh, maybe this is her redeeming herself and maybe she doesn't have any friends? Like, how did you feel at this point?
So I was like, obviously Summer is like giving her a shot because she's a nice person. And I was like, yeah, sure, fine. But like, people turning around that first impression. So the first impression we had of Taylor is that she's a dickhead. I'm not putting it bluntly.
Don't mention
she's
words,
an arsehole. Yeah, exactly. Like, she's clearly an arsehole. They've done 3 episodes solidifying the fact that she's an arsehole. And then in this, I was like, they can't just turn it around that quickly. You know, they can't just turn it around that quick. And if they do, I'll be really annoyed because, you know, people don't change that quickly. Like, you need more of a story arc. So I was like, okay. I didn't trust her. Like, straight away was like, I don't trust this.
Yeah, I felt, though, that she was sort of going down the road that Summer would like in terms of, I just want this year to be different and I want someone to write nice things about me in my yearbook. And it was like, that's pretty manipulative because...
Yeah.
Summer's buying into, oh, this is going to be the best year ever, and she's always trying to see
and
the
even
best.
In fact, she mentions like being in therapy and being like, oh, my therapist says I'm working through it. Like, Summer talks about being in therapy all the time. Like, I was like, don't like this. I did find it funny when she said something about the girl being stupid. She's like, see, this is what I need help with. And I was like, it's true. Like, internal thoughts and external thoughts can be hard sometimes.
Yeah, totally, because she says, go show Beth what an octagon is. And then she's a pinhead. It's like, okay.
She's just saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah.
Anyway, who is this total cutie just rocking up to the lockers, eh? This little guy.
Well, do you know Cheryl, our lovely listener and friend?
I'm aware of Cheryl, yes. Yeah. She's my actual friend, yep. I've heard she's slid into your DMs
slid into my DMs with Johnny Chat. I've seen seasons 1 and 2 like a good few times, but not watched 3 and 4. Maybe I've watched them twice. I could remember Johnny, but I couldn't visualize his face. And then at the time I was like, oh yeah, I did quite fancy Johnny at the time. So yeah, it was nice to be reintroduced to him.
I like Johnny.
Yeah.
He's cute. He's too nice for me.
Well, that's what I said. This is exactly what I said to Cheryl. I said, when I think of him, I just think of him being a bit of a wet blanket.
Yeah.
But I think that is because of other characters that come later in the season that had overshadowed my first impression of him, if that makes sense.
Okay. I'll hold on to my wet blanket vibe for now. But it turns out Johnny is Casey's boyfriend. And then we're introduced to this kind of like klutzy character of Dennis, aren't we? Yeah, he wants to be called Chili.
Chili.
Yeah, the clumsy. Weird, but sure.
Clumsy skater.
And they kind of like invite her to like come for food and hang out and like be your pal. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Like, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, your boyfriend's meant to pick you up, but we can drop you home. Like, it's probably good for you to make some pals. And I was like, oh, this is nice. This is sensible.
Yeah, they seem like a nice group and a nice little, could be our new like foursome to hang about with.
Agreed. But she has to phone Ryan because Ryan was meant to be picking her up. And it turns out Ryan's already there, but he lies and he's like, look, don't worry about it. Like, I've not left yet. Like, you go and hang out with your pals. I'll do my thing.
Yeah, that was quite sweet, I thought, because at first I was like, oh, here we go, Ryan. But he handled it pretty well and pretty maturely, which was nice.
I really enjoyed this next scene of Marissa looking for a non-designer bag.
Yeah, I mean, we all have those problems, but it was pretty cute because she was trying to take on board, obviously, what Casey'd said to her.
Cute. Very cute. But Julie comes in and is like, oh, how do you feel about staying with Summer for a couple of days? And Marissa, like, sees through the bullshit. Like, Marissa's really coming into her own this series, and I'm into it. She's like, look, I get it. We're getting kicked out of the house, aren't we? Like, Caleb had no money. This is kind of obviously what was going to happen. And then Julie's like, yeah, that is the case. And are you all right staying with Summer until we're back on our feet? And we will be back on our feet, and we'll be wearing very expensive shoes when we do.
Yeah, I felt that was Julie's line of the episode. I very much enjoyed.
Yeah. Aspirational, I would say.
She is.
Inspirational.
She's a survivor. And I thought that was quite like a cute moment when Marissa said that. To her mum. Yeah, although again, going from being realistic to saying, oh, but you must have savings, mum. Julie definitely doesn't have any savings.
Right, this next scene doesn't, like, all that happens is Kirsten gets some flowers delivered, and that's it.
Yeah.
Nice flowers, good, cheery man, that's it.
Bit of an uffing scene, but obviously setting up for a few scenes later. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Summer and Marissa.
Yeah, how ridiculous is Summer's house, by the way?
Yeah, it's insane. Absolutely insane.
So beautiful.
And they're unloading all Marissa's stuff, and then she realises, I think Summer mentions Ryan, and Marissa's like, oh, meant to have breakfast with Ryan. I'm a terrible girlfriend. But again, when she calls Ryan, he handles it quite well, and again, she's only found out a couple hours ago that they're getting chucked out. So yeah, he keeps his cool.
Yeah, it does feel like, so every time, well, I mean, there's only been two, but when these situations happen and like you cut to Ryan, like I feel really anxious, like I feel on eggshells. I'm like, oh God, he's going to explode.
It's going to kick off.
He's going to go insane. Yeah. Like it just shows why like being in a relationship with someone like that is so difficult, because like if you can't trust someone's reaction, how can you relax? Like it's
no,
really.
No, completely agree.
But it's fine, and we'll do something this afternoon. Sure you will. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you won't, but I like your planning, guys. Right, it's creepy Charlotte that sent the flowers, of course.
Yes, and the creepy flower delivery guy happens to be in her motel.
It's her boo.
Yeah.
It's her boo. But she phones up Kirsten and they end up being like, oh yeah, let's go for coffee tomorrow. And he says she better come through with the money.
It's all making sense. It's all making sense.
Although, finally.
I also like their choice of where do they go for lunch. The yacht club. Do you not think the yacht club is now coming the place where all the like dodgy dealings and terrible things happen?
It's where all the adults hang out. It's the only location you could get. Also, and I have to ask, do we assume this is the Mermaid Inn that they're in, the hotel?
It does.
It kind of looks like it, doesn't it? Similar colouring.
Yeah, although we've got Julie's situation later that we'll come to, but I thought about that and I was like, are they the same place or? So
valid. Hmm. Same colour bed sheets.
Yes, yes. So we then jump back to school and Taylor sees Summer lugging all her folders that she needs to be social chair. I think what was most, what sticks in my mind most about this scene is Taylor with the jumper around her shoulders, which I know you love so much, but it's almost like she wearing like, in my head, she's wearing like almost like a boob tube. And then has a really skinny jumper, which almost looks like a scarf. It's just bizarre.
A weird outfit from Taylor Townsend there.
Yeah.
It's not one for the, not one to write home about.
No.
It's not great. But she has a secret. And she lets Summer know that she overheard the dean saying that he was going to suspend Seth if he doesn't fess up who his collaborator in the thievery was. And then Seth obviously comes over and Summer tries to like lie about it and like hide it, and she says the line, she's not that bad about Taylor.
Uh-oh.
This is when I started to get bad feelings.
Yeah, because it's like, why is she, one, why doesn't, well, why doesn't she tell Seth? But that makes sense with what happens next. But yeah, definitely bad vibes here. I can remember where this is going.
Yep. Kirsten's making quiche, right? Quiche is pretty hard to make. Like, did she make that tart base herself? Like, see, if she bought the tart base and then just put the filling in, shoot, okay, that's pretty easy. But like, no, you have to like, what do you call it, where you put the beads in. You have to blind bake a quiche tart. And I was like, no way is she coming out of rehab learning how to cook and going straight in with a quiche. That's insane.
I've never made a quiche because I was thinking, well, maybe that's something more realistic that she could make. But from what you've just said, I know nothing about making quiche.
I sorely object. That is not an introductory food. Make a spaghetti bolognese. That's nice and easy.
God.
Maybe I should retrain. Maybe I should be a home ec teacher.
Home ec teacher.
I'm probably not going to do that.
Nah. but yeah, she's checking on the quiche, and then Sandy comes in to discuss the future of the Newport Group, and they've basically got two options. So they can sell a few of the assets and restructure, or they can sell all and pay off the debt and walk away. So big decisions for Kirsten. Yeah.
And he's so nice because he's like, I'm behind you either way. Like, the family's financially fine. Like, money-wise, we are fine. This is your decision. Do what's right for you. I'm here for you. And I was like, oh, Sandy.
I know.
You're so nice. I'll forget that, you know, you almost kind of emotionally, pretty much emotionally cheated on her with Rebecca, but sure, like, we're past that now. That was a whole season
ago.
Bigger
fish to fry.
You're back to being the good guy. And she makes a decision that it's time to let it go.
Yeah, she makes it pretty quickly as well, which is positive. And that's the end of that. And we then jump back to see the school and Summer's confessing. Shock horror.
She is. And then the dean says, oh, well, you can't be social chair now that you've been caught stealing, at which point Summer realises that she's been set up.
She has been played.
Which, I mean, of course she has. Like, Taylor's awful. Of course she has. Ugh. Anyway, Julie's here to see Sandy and wants a loan from the Newport Group. Now, when Jimmy was almost going to jail the last time, it was exactly for this. It was for borrowing personal money against the company. Of course she knows that that's illegal. Come on now.
Yeah, but she also must know that there is no money.
Yeah.
You know?
And then how's she planning on paying it back? Like, what's her job?
Who knows? Who knows?
And then Sandy offers her a loan. Oh, Sandy.
And she's just too proud. And again, I felt really quite bad for her here, because usually she has like the next trick up her sleeve where, you know, you can see like the cogs turning is what's going to happen next. But she just looks really worried and deflated, but still proud that she won't take their money.
I know, bless her. Okay, just more evidence in this next scene that Taylor is a blatant psychopath and should not be trusted.
Yeah, it's she's not doing herself any favors, is she?
What is it she says? She says a word that Summer doesn't know, and I didn't know, so I didn't write it down.
What is it she? Oh, she says that she's a human quagmire.
Yeah, what's a
that's
quagmire?
What I've written down when I looked it up, because I wasn't familiar with it either. Either a soft, boggy area of land that gives way underfoot, or an awkward, complex, or hazardous situation.
I mean, neither of those things are good. Why would you describe yourself as that?
Yeah.
So what she said, like, Summer says, basically confronts her and is like, you and the Dean have won this round, but the war isn't over. And that's when Taylor says, like, if you don't have an exit strategy, don't get out of the boat. So both of them could work as a quagmire reference.
Yeah, I think it's maybe the idea that, well, the area of land's going to give way, then it's sort of like kind of pulling the rug from beneath her feet. She's sort of got it on board, and then it was only for Taylor's own personal gain. Just
Taylor
pretty grim.
Taylor is the worst. Like, she's just the worst, man.
She's really not doing herself any favours in these episodes, but first time.
Look, you keep saying that, but like, I've seen no evidence of any redeeming features.
It's the episodes. We've probably got about, what, another 25 or something to go.
We're halfway through episode 4. Like, no, I refuse to believe it. Anyway, back to school dance over at Newport High. It is Newport Union?
Union, yeah. Newport Union.
That's the one. And Marissa, bless her, is like, does it have a theme? No, honey. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. I quite liked how they set up just the contrast between the two skills the whole way through it.
For sure. And then Mean Heather, not to be confused with me, comes up and apologizes quite profusely to Marissa, to which I was like, this is weird. Like, has Casey threatened her? Like, what's going on here? And then it becomes very apparent when she says, so then you're not going to shoot me, whale
bitch.
I thought this was hilarious. I was like, I mean, sucks for Marissa, but that was funny.
And then Marissa just runs away and cries, and Johnny runs after her, and Ryan sees it all.
Why doesn't she run away to, like, if you're gonna cry anywhere, be that work or school, that's toilets. What the toilets are for, right? You do not cry in public. I mean, there's nothing wrong with crying in public, but like, I can't do it. That's what toilets are for.
It's the way that she's almost taking shelter, or like cowering into sort of wire fence and a scabby locker.
So weird. But yeah, she's having a cry because she was like, oh, I don't, I thought nobody knew. And then Johnny, bless him, is like, mate, everyone knew. Like, it's fine. But this Johnny guy is nice. And he's like, look, you did what you had to do. People said that you saved someone's life. Like, that's not, a lot of people wouldn't do that. And I was like, yeah, Johnny, valid point. Thank you. but obviously Ryan's here. Obviously.
Yeah. Cue mental Ryan. Ugh.
What's going on? Nothing, Ryan. Fuck off. He doesn't even go to the school. He's just the absolute worst. And then Johnny's like, oh, you must be the boyfriend, and goes to shake his hand, and he completely ignores it like an absolute tool.
Yeah, I think he takes it in the end, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't.
Does he not?
No, right, he leaves it hanging, which is even worse. And then Marissa's like, he was just trying to be nice. And he was. He was just trying to be a good guy, Ryan. And you are an arsehole.
Yes. When does this guy even go to school? Like, Ryan just seems to be turning up at Marissa's new school like every 10 minutes.
He's not checking in for homeschooling.
He's definitely not.
He's not sitting there at registration.
He'd be getting a letter home. From homeschool, okay.
But yeah, this next scene is it's a nice little Seth and Ryan moment where Ryan tells Seth what happens, and Seth is like, you're an arsehole, just go in and apologise. It's as simple as that.
Oh, and then I liked how he's like, go and apologise, and then you homeschool kids are pathetic. They really are.
No comment. Who was I talking to about this? We were talking about homeschool, but like in the traditional sense of like, because in America, homeschooling is fairly normal. Like a lot of people will be taught from home, especially like in junior years and then join school in high school. Whereas like homeschooling here until lockdown was not a thing. Like if somebody was homeschooled, like if somebody came to our school and had been homeschooled, we would have been like, what?
Yeah, I don't think I know anyone that's been homeschooled. Like I don't think I've ever... UK anyway, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if the laws are different, the rules are different.
Maybe. And how do you even police that as such, you know?
Let's not get into it. Jane might get upset. To all our teacher listeners, of which we know there are a few, it's tough times, guys. It's going to be fine. It's all going to be okay. Summer holidays aren't that far away.
Just if I can get to February weekends. Summer's a distant dream.
Summer? What is summer? February holidays aren't that far away. It's gonna be okay. But I would really like to just focus in on Summer and Marissa's sunglasses in this next scene.
Do you think that episode was like sponsored by Chanel and they just gave them the cheapest shit sunglasses? They're awful.
No, I really like these sunglasses.
Oh no,
I am a firm fan of a ridiculously oversized sunglass.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
As am I. Like, my sunglasses are generally huge, but I didn't enjoy the massive... I just felt they're a bit Terminator-like or something on. I like Summer's. Yeah. I like Summer's, but Marissa's I felt were a bit ridiculous.
It almost feels like Marissa's ones didn't quite fit her face. But yeah, I did like that. I wouldn't say no to either of them. I'll take them. But yeah, they are sitting by the pool with their oversized sunglasses, having the same chat as Ryan and Seth.
Yeah, and the double vest top that we were using.
Oh, yeah.
Summer's got like a pink bra on and then a white vest top and then a grey vest top.
If you were not a teenager in the noughties, you might not remember this, but it was such a phase. And like, I really distinctly remember having like a blue, a kind of purpley one, a pink one. And like I would always wear like a black t-shirt, a black vest top over it.
Yeah.
Like the black vest top was the staple. And then the colour underneath was the little flash of colour.
Yeah.
I was going to say we should bring it back, but let's not.
No. Not.
No. Also, if it's hot, why do you want to wear two t-shirts?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if it's freezing where they are, you know.
No. Anyway, Ryan calls, doesn't he? And he's all like pumped up to apologize. And she says, your reaction was normal. No, it wasn't.
Right. I thought here, so Marissa takes the blame instantly. I was like, what? And then I thought, then she says to him, it's sort of like glossed over, but she patches him to say, I can't see you tonight because I'm going to study, but maybe I could see you later. At this point, I thought, is she saying, oh, I can't see you, and glossing over it because in her head she was already going to patch him and go to the dance. But it didn't
seem... Oh, maybe.
Well, that's what I felt. But then it didn't seem that that's how it panned out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To be fair, if I was in Marissa's position, I would have been like, nah. Like, he would have been on the naughty step, and I would have just been like, nah, you're an arsehole.
Yeah, maybe she just couldn't be bothered with the fight, and she was like, oh, well, sorry. I mean,
we've all been there. Lord knows, we've all been there. But yeah, let's head over to Creepy Charlotte. So they're at the yacht club. They meet, they have a nice big hug. They do the whole like, oh my God, you look great. Oh my God, you look great. Wow, wow, wow. And it turns out Charlotte is pitching this idea to Kirsten of this halfway house. So kind of what they did when they came out of rehab. She wants to buy one and have it as like a place.
Yeah.
Now, I just don't think any rehab facility is going to like accept that as a thing, because I don't think that's a thing. But clearly she needs, and I quote, just a couple of million to kick it off. And clearly that's not going to kick it off. That's going straight into her back pocket.
Mm. Yeah, devious plan. And she's so manipulative again, saying, don't get rid of the company because it won't rid you of your issues with your dad.
Yeah.
I thought that's... pretty grim.
It was, not okay. But Kirsten is like, look, I don't have that kind of money. My dad left me nothing. And you can see
she's crestfallen, isn't she?
Yeah. She's livid.
Totally gutted.
But yeah, ends in that really gross, blatant manipulation. And I didn't like it.
No.
I didn't like it one bit.
Not a fan of Creepy Charlotte.
This next scene is a super quick one, but a super sad one, because the guys turn up to take all of Julie's stuff. And the guy is just like, get your personal belongings and get out.
She definitely looks properly freaked out here.
Yeah.
I think
it's just like the reality of the situation, isn't it? Like, if she's clearly been in denial and then they're actually there taking stuff.
Because she's been here before, but she's ended up working her way out of it. But she's not getting out of this one.
No. Right. So over at Summer's house, Marissa's sitting out the back, getting her sunbathing, as she do. And the door is going. And I love, like, this is such a, I really remember this as a teenager, probably because I have a younger brother. But like, the doorbell would go and we would both be upstairs in different rooms. And it would be like, Heather, the door's going. Heather, can you go get the door? And I'd just be like, no, like, you go get the freaking door. Like, no, that's not okay. And that's what this felt like.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, someone, the phone's going. Someone needs to get that.
Yeah.
But it's not. The doorbell is going and Marissa has to get off her arse and go and get it.
And it's Johnny, Casey and Dennis. It's Dennis, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dennis, aka Chili.
Chili, yeah.
So they're there to get her for the dance.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cute that although they'd probably be like, where on earth is she living?
No, I love that nobody even references how ridiculously insane this house is.
Yeah, it's just there.
But it's quite nice. They're like, look, we're not leaving without you, so
yes.
Get a dress on and get in the car.
But not a Chanel one.
Not a Chanel one. No, strictly not a Chanel one. I also found it really funny because, like, the Casey is wearing, like, a cute top and jeans.
Yeah.
Like, and when you think back to their previous, like, dances, it's always been, like, such an affair. Mm-hmm. Like you would never imagine one of them turning up in, like, a top and jeans.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely not a jeans and a nice top dance at Harbour.
Anyway, over to the Coens' kitchen.
Cooking with Kirsten and her fancy
lamb
ragout.
Cooking with Kirsten.
Cooking with Kiki, that could be a good...
Oh my god, we should totally pitch that. Cooking with Kiki. Yeah, lamb ragout, not easy, babe.
Nah.
She's not making life easy for herself. But Seth is off to the dance. Ryan's popping over to see Marissa and see if she wants a distraction. And Sandy's pumped for the lamb ragout. Clearly, when Kirsten comes in, what Charlotte said earlier has been playing on her mind. And she does this whole, like, oh, I'm just off to get the oregano, also known as oregano, if you're not from America. But she's off to get the oregano with her car keys.
Like,
straight away, I was like, where is she going? What's she doing?
It's like the hair brightens out there.
Right? Why make such a big deal about her bloody planting a herb garden? Whatever. So Seth and Ryan turn up at Summer's house, where obviously Marissa is. And I love that Seth says, oh, I'm just going to go and phone Summer before this gets awkward. Mate, it was awkward when you were getting out of the car.
It really was. And they just walk past. Again, sometimes I think I give teenagers more credit than they're due. So I'm like, why are you not introducing your pals?
And this is where Marissa's like, oh, I was going to tell you, why would you not phone him while you were getting dressed? Why would that not be the first thing you would do?
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one. She was sort of setting herself up for the drama there. But again, I think Ryan's going to go nuts, but he doesn't.
Nope, it's really sound. And he's just like, you're right, you should go. And they drive off and leave Ryan standing there looking sad. Question, why is he not going to the Harbour school dance?
Oh, because he won't be allowed in there, surely.
Oh, yeah, I suppose he doesn't go to that school. Valid
You'll
point. You'll
never
right.
step foot in that school again if you remember back to kickoff carnival.
How could I forget? God.
Just he punched the dean. That's maybe why, Heather.
Oh, yeah. That. I forgot. My bad. Right. School disco at Newport Union looks exactly like every single one of my school discos.
Oh, really?
So,
it looks awful. Absolutely awful. Why have they not, like, dimmed the lights or tried to do anything? It just looks like the gym during the day with lots of bad dancing and extras.
Lots of bad dancing.
Extras that look to vary between age 16 and 45.
Yeah, I'd like to chat with their cast of the king. But yes. Yeah, this Heather Bird makes that like shooting sign at Marissa, and I'm just like, oh god, this is uncomfortable. And Marissa's like, oh, they're all staring at me. And she runs away crying again. Ugh. Now, if I was Casey in that lot, I would be like, this bird's shite, let's not bother. Like,
yeah.
But they're not. They're like good human beings, and they go out and chase after her.
And they just tell her to ignore them because Johnny very astutely says, all kids are like dogs, they smell fear. And then Dennis says, and like frisbees.
What? A valid point. Thanks, Dennis. Do you think it's true? Do you think kids can smell fear?
Yes and no. I guess sometimes a lot of the kids I work with are really pretty nice overall, but I have seen some pretty grim things over the year. Kids can be very mean.
Oh. Oh, you tell them if they're mean to you, I'll come around and I'll have a word. I'll play mean Heather. I'm kidding. I would never do that. Just to clarify.
Yeah, and then you've got the complete contrast because the Harbour School dance just looks amazing. And I was like, does this remind you of a garage beach party?
Oh my god, 100%. So if you're not from Glasgow or the surrounding areas, there is a nightclub in Glasgow called The Garage. It is an institution.
It is, until COVID times, open 365 days of the year. I have been on Christmas Day a few times.
I used to go on Christmas Eve quite a lot. Aww. Yeah. But it is, it's like everyone's been to The Garage. Yeah. Like, it's just somewhere you go. And it's great, it's got loads of different floors, like, yeah, it's great. It's, do you know, and even as a 30-something year old who occasionally gets drunk and goes to nightclubs, it's still fun. Like, yeah. I mean, the attic is fun. The
fun,
main floor is terrifying and makes me feel so old.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do like really epic freshers kind of stuff. And the beach party was always one, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they actually, there was real sand everywhere. And they managed to get that all cleared up for normal service the next day.
Right. But our friend's the manager of The Garage. I might message him and just be like, how did you guys do that? Like, how does that work? Talk to me.
I once went to a Bebo party at The Garage.
A Bebo party? Sorry, what?
Yeah, so I think Bebo had maybe just come out and they were promoting it. And all I really remember is getting given lots of Bebo stickers, and there was various inflatables in the club. So it sticks in my mind.
Bebo.
Yeah.
If you're young enough not to remember Bebo, Google it, because I can't be arsed explaining what that is. God, remember Bebo.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times.
Taylor's taking credit for the dance. She's given us her big speech, and Summer's like, I am going to kill her.
And understandably
then,
so.
Yeah. And then the Dean comes out and she's like, yeah, I am going to kill both of them.
What an absolute grosser, though. Like, I know you're a teacher and you probably don't want to hear this, but any kid that publicly thanks a teacher on a stage like that is disgusting.
And
like,
then
that's not okay.
Oh, but she delivers the line when she says, it's the end of summer.
This really is the end of summer.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to make it the end of you. I hate you. You're the worst. God.
So yeah, they're setting that up there. And then we cut to the flower guy, who is absolutely raging that they have wasted 30k on Charlotte going to rehab to obviously try and meet some rich women so that they can get them involved in their devious plans.
Yeah.
And then we've got creepy Charlotte says that Kirsten is the princess of the OC and she will find a way to use her.
Pretty ominous. Pretty bad.
Horrid.
Yeah. And then we flip-flop right over to Kirsten, right over to the woman herself, who's looking at like baby photos and old projects. And she's just having a wee moment, isn't she? She's just sad. And
just
Sandy is like, yeah, Sandy's like, you can still keep the company if you want, and she's like, no, I just wanted to say goodbye. And I think that's nice, that's important, like in these big moments, to take a moment and be sad and be like, well,
just getting a wee bit of closure. And Sandy is so cute and brings a picnic.
Adorable. Sandy is 10 out of 10 in this episode. He does nothing wrong.
Yeah, I'm so glad that they seem to be really strong just now, which is nice.
This is where Seth calls Ryan to check in.
This was weird.
Right? He literally says all the worst things.
Yeah, this is like the dictionary definition of throwing like fuel on the fire.
Oh, yeah. So he says to him, like, don't beat yourself up. Don't start thinking, like, oh, is this the moment that I started losing her? Like, you're not going to look back on this and regret it and all this stuff. And all you're doing is putting ideas in his head.
Yeah, it has a complete adverse effect. He's planting the seeds in Ryan's on his own. All his pals are out. And obviously, he rushes to the school.
Yeah. And he rushes to, like, the corridor or, like, the bit just, like, before you went in. And sees her laughing and having a nice time. And I'm laughing because Seth has skateboarded over.
Right. What's the geography of these schools? Do they have that conversation? And maybe Seth would have the conversation and then think, maybe shouldn't have done that.
Said that, yeah.
But to then be like, oh, that's me away on the skateboard and get there about the same time as Ryan. Time.
And also, can we just discuss the fact he is wearing a shirt, a suit jacket and a tie with shorts?
It's pretty, what? It's a nuts outfit.
It's bold, I'll give him that, but no.
I wonder what he had in his feet, I can't remember.
Oh my god, imagine it was like suit shoes. I actually think it might be worse if it was Converse.
I was just thinking that.
It's awful. Anyway, and he says to him, like, oh, don't go in there, don't look like a loser. Seth, you look like a loser and you caused this, so don't start with me, Seth.
Yeah, Seth trying, I don't know, because I thought he'd really sort of tried to keep out of other people's business and he's been quite wise in the last couple of episodes, but this just seemed, but again, I've written here in like block capitals, Wayne's, like, they are children. I need to keep remembering.
Well, that's a very important line to go into this next scene in, that they are indeed children. They are indeed minors.
Skin crawling.
I know. Summer is on the phone to Seth, being like, you said you were going to be 10 minutes. Where are you? We have all been there when you're like, where the frick is this person gone? I'm left on my own. Get back here right now. But anyway, she sees Taylor sneaking off. So she follows her, obviously. I really thought she was like going to jump her and like beat her up or something. But yeah, that's not what happens.
But do you want to know, when we were watching it, I was watching it with Stephen, and she comes off the phone. So she's got her little flip phone. And Stephen's seen it as well, so he obviously knew where it was going. But he was like, does that phone have a camera? Because he thought she was going to, like, go in. Right. And I was like, oh, I can't even think. Like, did I have a camera phone then? Or did that, it looked like a little Motorola or something. Did that model have, like, is she going to
I absolutely loved my flip phone. It was good. It was good times. But yeah, she sneaks around and she sees Taylor snogging someone in a classroom. And you can't see who the guy is, but you can see Taylor, like, looking all lovingly, having a good winch. And then it cuts to the dean. It's the fucking dean. She's snogging the dean. And I fucking told you. I told you in, like, episode 2. I called it.
You did.
Like, I don't even know what to, like, I think Summer just says, oh, my God. Oh, my God, indeed. Yeah. Like, what would you even do?
I think now, watching this back, being a teacher, it's even more horrific than it was at the time. You know, it's, and I think just his character.
Yeah.
As well. And, awful.
If you were Summer, what would you have done?
I don't think I could have sat on it. I think I would want them to know that I'd saw it.
Yeah.
But then I'll react to something I'm not very good at thinking things through. And yeah, I would definitely.
That's the thing. Like, if she did interrupt them and they then knew, they would just deny it and make sure that.
I suppose.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I think I would just be shook. I would just be standing there going, oh my God. I also see.
So grossed out.
I'm so bad at, like, hide and seek or, like, jumping out on people, because when I get nervous, I laugh, which is really bad. So, like, I would literally be standing there, like, trying to not laugh. That's not a situation I would like to be in. But, yeah, Taylor, annoying Townsend, and the Dean are snogging.
Shudder.
Gross. Let's head over to sad Julie, who we think is in the Mermaid Inn, cannot confirm nor deny.
Is she next door to Creepy Charlotte and Flower Guy? Who knows?
Who knows? But I really feel like, again, it's the same as one earlier. Like, this is a super short scene, but it's like she is a terrific actor. Like, yeah, she's really, really good. In such a short scene, you can literally just see this woman whose entire life has like fallen around her. And she's gone from living in this massive mansion with all this stuff to two bags.
Yeah, but they're also Louis Vuitton bags. She could sell them and be living in a really nice hotel for a few weeks.
A valid point, Jane, a valid point.
She does seem so vulnerable, and yeah, it was sad. And
she doesn't even have her kids. Like, she's just like, she's completely on her own. She has no one.
And she's probably feeling that. If you think back to the episodes with her sister, and it's almost as if she's really made her way, or as she would see it in life, to then be alone with nothing. And yeah, I've really felt for her.
Who's paying Caitlin's tuition fees?
Who knows? Who knows?
Just putting it out there. Back at the dance. Right. So Seth comes in and Summer's like, oh my God, I have something to tell you. Why isn't she dragging him away to be like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
How could she stand there?
You could not sit on that. I'd have been on the phone straight. One of those things you just need to tell someone. And then you've got Taylor dancing with one of her peers, and she's then like, are you enjoying the dance? And Summer just still looks shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think
tense.
It's very tense. And then it cuts, Bill, again, total inconsistencies. It then cuts to Ryan getting to the pool house, and Marissa's already there. What?
Magic.
She was at the dance a minute ago.
Maybe she got an Uber. Who knows?
Maybe. But it is cute.
Yeah, she's like, I spent the whole time wishing that you were there. My life doesn't work without you, which I personally don't think is a very healthy thing to say. But, you know, sure, she's a teenager. I'll let you away with it. And then they say the next song that comes on is going to be our song. I would have just stuck with first one, to be honest. It's like this rap song that comes on, and it's quite funny. And then the next song that comes on is nice. But I would have just stuck with that one. Yeah. That'd be a great first dance.
It was cute, although I don't know how that would have worked playing out as the montage over all the other people. Julie crying.
Julie sobbing. Charlotte shagging, like, to this awesome hip-hop track. No, so their song is Youth Group Forever Young. Yeah. A classic. Mm. A classic in the indie rock genre.
Indeed.
But yeah, it kind of pans around everyone, checks in on everyone, makes sure everyone's okay. And then we're left with just Ryan and Marissa dancing by the pool. And it's a lovely ending.
It is. It's nice. And so much to come.
I cannot wait to find out what happens with Taylor and the Dean. What's going to happen? Like, I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm really excited to go back and watch again. Because, this is the beauty of it, like, going back, because you have inclinations of what happened, but you can't quite put it all together. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying, like, and it's also nice because I'm like, ooh, because you're getting to experience it for the first time, which I think I always forget, if that makes sense. I'm a bit like, oh, and fuck, this is like Heather actually watching this for the first time.
She actually doesn't know what's going to happen. I don't. It's not made up. It's true. I honestly don't care what's going to happen next other than what's happening with that. I mean, I do care about Julie. Obviously, she's the love of my life. But I have no other concerns right now other than what's going to happen with Taylor and the Dean.
But yeah, I think we've got the Julie and Creepy Charlotte storyline. The Kirsten and Creepy Charlotte storyline to think about too. And yeah, I guess Marissa and her new gang. Is Mean Heather going to pursue her reign of terror on her?
I feel like this Johnny guy has been really set up as like a potential boo, but obviously she's going out with Ryan and he has a girlfriend, so I'm like, there's something. And because Ryan got jealous of him, I'm like, that's bad vibes. Bad vibes.
Yeah, so lots to look forward to.
Lots to come. What time is it? It's not summertime. It's listener of the week time. Listener of the week. Okay, our listener of the week this week. I'm going to apologise in advance because I have no idea how to pronounce your name. I'm really sorry. I hate doing that. Normally, I would ask you to tell me how to pronounce your name, but I've not done that in advance because that would give it away and I don't want to give away the surprise. So, Piyush Gogate, you're welcome to feedback on how horrifically my Scottish accent is destroying your wonderful name. I would like that feedback. But you are our listener of the week. They got in touch just on Hug Monet, actually, to say that they'd been listening. They were listening from the start. And something really interesting they brought up was they are on season one, episode 7, when Marissa goes to Tijuana and that whole storyline unfolding. But he was like, because he is in India. Yeah, he was saying that the kind of painkiller storyline and, you know, going for the painkillers in the same way that Oliver later does is not something that was ever really brought up in India. He's he's 33 and he's like, that's not like a common thing in like pop culture. And I just thought that was a really interesting observation. Like, I love it when people from other countries get involved, because obviously, like, we're in Scotland and we're putting our Scottish, nay, British perspective on an American show, which has its, like, we talk about it all the time. There's loads of stuff comes up that we're like, homeschooling, American homeschooling, that's not a thing. Guns, what are these guns? Tanning, I don't know what tanning is. But yeah, there's loads of things that come up that we just don't really have a knowledge of, or is like out with our kind of cultural bubble. It's the same when they were talking about the Golden Girls, was that Summer and Anna were talking about? Just stuff that we're not hugely familiar with. So I find it really interesting that somebody from India had that kind of
observation
there.
Thank you.
So thanks so much for getting in touch. Really appreciate it. I mean, you're still in season one, I think, so you'll get to this at some point. Let us know when you do. But if you would like to be up for Listener of the Week, follow us at Never Seen the OC on Instagram and Twitter. You can leave us a little review on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us on Spotify, anywhere else you listen. I don't use those platforms, but I'm sure you can do similar things on them, right? Anything else to add? Anyone you want to shout out, Jane? Anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm just really looking forward to the next episode.
Oh, that means it's goody. Excellent. Okay, well, in that case, we'll catch you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.